Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime. One of the greatest openings of all time, no question about it. Money for Nothing. The song written by Mark Knopfler, and it had to do with he overheard some workers talking about how the guys in MTV at the time, when MTV actually did music videos, you know, the musicians, they had the easy life. So that's sort of the concept of a great, you know, one of the greatest guitarists of all time, Mark Knopfler. Love it. This is Oilers Now. It is presented to you by Digitex by Alicia X Office Network Printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store, Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office IT and supplies. Bob Stauffer here along with Brendan Escott. Brendan, you played the role of music maestro today. Why did we open up with Dire Straits' Money for Nothing?
1985, this song hit number one on the charts. But I'll tell you what else happened today, and that is Bryan Adams' Reckless dropped. So for the rest of the show, plenty of hits to go off of from that album, too.
Nice work. 1985, Rosie's Bar and Grill, West Edmonton Mall. That's where I was working at the time. I remember that song was huge. We're going to have a lot of fun on today's edition of Oilers Now. We're going to recap a couple clips yesterday of the great one, Wayne Gretzky, who joined us on the 34th anniversary of the Wayne Gretzky sale to the Los Angeles Kings. To paraphrase, Banner, all right. CNN, Headline, Sports. We will we'll get to a little bit of the great one. We'll also hear from Sebastian Cosa. Canada opens up the World Junior Championship today over at Rogers Place. This is not a Chorus/Sportsnet event, so that's part of the reason why we're in the 630 Chet studios today, and we'll see how Canada does. They have Latvia. I would suggest that they're probably 5-goal favorites for today's game. Sebastian Cosa from the Edmonton Oil Kings, Detroit Red Wings first-round draft choice, was on last night with Reid Wilkins on Inside Sports. We're going to get to a couple clips from him. 12:35 today, regular contributor to the show, courtesy of Legacy Heating and Cooling, John Shannon. At 1:05, from the Cult of Hockey and at the Edmonton Journal, David Staples. And in town for the Glenn Anderson Day of Golf for the Cross Cancer Institute, Hockey Hall of Famer Glenn Anderson, who has come back year after year. It's got to be 30-plus years for this event, for a player that had incredible style and panache. So on back-to-back days, we have Oiler Hall of Famers on the show, Wayne Gretzky yesterday, Glenn Anderson today. You know, it's funny. When you think of Glenn Anderson, they're up for a lot of Oilers fans. He was of that era. His sort of devil-may-care attitude, the guy was absolute money come crunch time. You know, the Oilers' all-time leader in game-winning goals. And he, with the style and panache and, frankly, the edge that he played with, he could be a little dirty sometimes, which, frankly, if you're going to be Glenn Anderson and a 50-goal scorer, you got to protect yourself a bit. And back in those days, that meant that, the stick was a great equalizer, and he knew how to use it. Nobody drove the net like Glenn Anderson, and, the other thing that I admired about him is he was smart, and he knew how to read the game. Little-known fact, and just something to file away. A lot of us identify Glenn Anderson on the line with Mark Messier, and then later, towards the Oilers' last two Stanley Cup runs, on a line with Mark Messier and Craig Simpson. But there were times, especially when Messier got hurt, in the fall of 85, he busted his ankle. And Glenn Sather loaded up Wayne Gretzky, Glenn Anderson, and Yari Curry. That was the most prolific Oilers offensive line of that time. So now we're going to transition to the here and now. Everybody, of course, is under the assumption that the Oilers are going to have Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl center the top two lines. Draisaitl got moved to the wing due to injury during the course of this year's playoffs and then proceeded to pick up 17 points in five games against the Calgary Flames, the highest point-per-game average in a playoff series in NHL history, 3.4 points per game. It was incredible what he accomplished. Just for you-know-whats and giggles, if the Oilers loaded up the top line, and let's just say went Evander Kane, Connor McDavid, and Leon Draisaitl all year, how many goals would the trio score? So if... And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted. 143rd Street, 111th Avenue. Head to ashleyfinefloors.com for more information. So, if Edmonton loaded up Connor McDavid with Leon Draisaitl and Evander Kane, how many goals would they, if they went with that line? Like last year, the Flames played Goodrow, Tkachuk, and Lindholm 87% of the time, 5-on-5. People said it was the best line in the NHL. Well, come playoff time, that best line got overshadowed in the Battle of Alberta series. McDavid and Draisaitl outscored the opposition 13-4 in the playoff series against Calgary 5v5 when they were on the ice. So, I want to know. And obviously, you know, the three guys in Calgary last year all broke the 40-goal plateau. The Flames' power play was not and has not been Edmonton's power play, where McDavid and Draisaitl have been part of power plays that have gone. Last year, they were third. The 2 years before that, they were first and first in the National Hockey League. So we can have some fun with that. You tell me, text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. I get it. You want balance on the team. I mean, you could have Nugent, Hopkins, Hyman, and Puljujärvi as a line, and that would allow you to play, say, for the sake of argument, Fogle with Ryan McLeod and Connor Yamamoto. But you tell me, if they loaded up the top line, how many goals? Brendan, now I'm going to ask you. McDavid, Draisaitl, and Kane, they play the entire season together. Doesn't mean that Kane's going to play on the first power play unit, because you might want a right shot as a net front, though Kane, too, can be a net front presence. But if you played those three together all year, and then remember, the three Calgary guys all got 40 last year. I mean, I think it's fair to say you'd have to think that all three guys would break the 40-goal plateau, would they not?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd say Leon gets probably 50, 55 in that scenario, and then I'd have the other two at 40 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, which just shows you how remarkable it was that what the Calgary Flame guys did last year. Like three 40-plus goal scorers on one line. Amazing accomplishment. All right, so John Shannon at 12:35, Dave Staples at 105, Glenn Anderson at 135. A reminder, you can reach us in the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline at 780-496-0063. Get ready to rock at the River Cree. Nazareth tomorrow night, Tom Cochran on Lunatic Fringe by far, my favorite Tom Cochran song. Tom Cochran coming up November 5th. Get your tickets at... RiverCreekResort.com. Our top story for Legacy Heating and Cooling, whether it's heating or cooling, you need to get it with no payments, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. And we already brought it up. Team Canada opens up today in the World Junior Championship. All right, into the Oilers Now Audio Vault for direct workwear, featuring Edmonton's largest selection, unbeatable prices, and customer service that makes you feel like family. Yesterday was the 34th anniversary of the Wayne Gretzky sale, to paraphrase Glenn Sather, to the Los Angeles Kings. Gretzky commented on yesterday's edition of Oilers Now on how the deal from Edmonton to Los Angeles transformed the National Hockey League.
We've talked so much about it over 34 years. And you know what? It was great for everyone. The Oilers went on to win a Stanley Cup, and I really enjoyed my time in L.A., and I love being part of the NHL. And you know, it probably all started with a tap on the shoulder from my dad after we won the Cup in '88, that he told me I was going to get traded, and I thought he was a little bit off his rocker. And you know, in those days we had telephones in our houses, and I got a phone call at 6:30 in the morning from Nelson Scalbania, and he asked me how I would think about playing in Vancouver. And so it was the whole thing was a little bit crazy at the beginning, and then it sort of all unfolded. And unfortunately for everyone, business is part of hockey, and you know, I missed so many great years of playing in Edmonton with so many wonderful friends and great people. But at the end of the day, I loved where I went to, and, you know, it was very enjoyable.
That is the great one, Wayne Gretzky. You know, obviously, the Sun Belt markets took off, proliferation of them carrying forward, some of which haven't been that great. Cost the league a lot of money, cost the partners in the league a lot of money, and a revenue-sharing National Hockey League. Edmonton's at a completely different place now than it was back then. Of course, Peter Pocklington had run into significant financial issues. At one time, he was a very popular guy. He actually made it, I think, into the second vote for the leader of the Conservatives in the, what year was that? I'm thinking 82, 83, and around that time. But he got involved in the Gainers dispute, and it was ugly. And it was a time in which the provincial coffers were not as bullish as the days of Peter Laheed, that's to say the least. You know, and we ended up in a scenario where Don Getty ended up taking over and things got a lot tougher financially in the province. Long story short, Pocklington ran into real financial difficulty, and we all know the story. He ended up selling off not just Wayne Gretzky, but Mark Messier as well. The Oilers eventually, Cal Nichols, who will be undoubtedly, wouldn't surprise me, a part of Glenn Anderson's Cross Cancer Institute golf tournament tomorrow. Cal Nichols put together the Edmonton Investors Group, which was 38 community-minded individuals, most of whom were Northern Albertans. There was a couple from outside of Edmonton. I know there was a Lloydminster, I believe the Lloydminster 5 back in the day as well. But even during those times, without a salary cap, the Oilers were in significant financial challenges. I mean, they were playing with a $25 or $30 million salary cap when teams were at, you know, $60, $70 million, like Detroit, Dallas, Colorado. Those were the big three in the Western Conference. We got to the lockout, which I've often said was the battle for Alberta. For 3 years, there was a Canadian assistance program where the Edmonton Oilers, the Calgary Flames, and the Ottawa Senators all got $3 million a year from their partners in the league, and make no mistake about it, some of the hawks on the ownership groups, not naming any names, but, you know, you can figure out who they were. They weren't too happy that they had to cough up for the Canadian teams. We got to the lockout, and then lo and behold, we came out of the lockout, and what did we find out? Well, hockey matters in Canada, not as much in the U.S. Darryl Cates ended up purchasing the team in 2008. Edmonton, with the exception of and I don't know what the case over the last 2 years because of the pandemic, but I can tell you that from basically 05-06 until the 18-19 season, there was only the 1 year, maybe the last year at Rexall Place, where the Canadian dollar dipped to about 62 cents that year, where the Oilers were not in line to be a revenue-contributing team. So it's a completely different time. Of course, Edmonton has Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. They got a brand new building. And Wayne Gretzky, as we go back in the Oilers Now audio vault for direct workwear, says Edmonton's a far more stable organization and desirable team these days.
You know what? They're in a great place right now. Obviously, they got a wonderful young team and two of the best players in hockey, and with the leadership of guys like Darnell, I really like their hockey club. And obviously, you know, you and I have talked about this before. I'm very biased. I think my brother's done a wonderful job with all the young kids in Bakersfield. They have a tremendous farm system now. Kenny Holland's done a nice job. It's just it's a fun group to watch. Connor and I did a commercial a couple months ago in L.A., and he's so excited about his team, and he's looking forward to this year. They had a great run, and hopefully, you know, they have such wonderful fans in Edmonton, as I said so many times. It'll be great to see that team get to a Stanley Cup final and eventually win.
That is the great one, Wayne Gretzky, on yesterday's show. All right, the World Juniors starts tonight, Canada against Latvia. Canada will be a favorite to be certainly in the Final Four for the tournament. Sebastian Kosa, the Edmonton Oil Kings goaltender, says that it's a weird timing this year for the World Junior Tournament.
It's definitely strange, you know, playing competitive hockey at this time of the year, but obviously I think still just kind of coming back here and writing what was wrong at Christmas there, kind of... you know, just kind of getting a second chance to bring back gold medal here. So obviously a lot of stuff that I wish we could have done different in Christmas, and you know, wish we could have finished out that tournament there. But you know, luckily we got a second chance now to you know, kind of complete what we couldn't finish there. So obviously, yeah, the team's very focused right now, and the past couple of weeks of training have been very good. So I'm looking forward to getting the tournament started tomorrow.
And Kosa did say, and there's been, you know, unfortunately, the World Juniors got postponed after a couple games in December. We were close, relatively speaking, I guess, what are we, 6 weeks away from NHL training camp, 5 weeks away from rookie camp, and not at all the same team that was together from December.
About eight guys who are new to this team, and about four of them on Christmas were my teammates then. So obviously some new faces, but obviously just kind of getting the new relationships with the new players here, and you know, the team's been bonding pretty good here. So you know, I think, yeah, we're just, like I said earlier, just kind of getting ready for the tournament here.
All right, there you go. That is Sebastian Kosa. Again, he appeared last night, as we mentioned earlier, on Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. It's 12:22 in Edmonton. Brendan Escott's going to bring you NHL Today. I'm going to bang off some texts when we return on Oilers Now. Was it 84 or 85 that Reckless dropped on this date?
84.
There you go. Nicely done. Welcome back, everybody. It's 12:24 at Edmonton. Bob, the Lloydminster Five had the majority of money invested in the Edmonton Oilers. No, that is not correct, says a texter sent me that. Terry. Sorry, Terry. Bruce Saville, Jim Hole were the two largest shareholders of the Edmonton Investor Group from back in the day. There was one family connected actually to this building, the Allards through the Kathy Ruse and Harold and Kathy Ruse, that originally were going to be the largest shareholder, but then Calnichols diversified. And that changed the complexion. Those guys did quite well. They got three times their original investment. But if Calnichols, for me, was sort of the driver behind everything of putting the collaborative effort to get to... And he resuscitated the Oilers twice. Once with the SOS campaign to get season seats sold for the Edmonton Oilers. And that was, I think, like 96, 97. And then later the purchase of the team of the Edmonton Investors Group. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Gas B has texted us, and he has said, Bob, you referenced the documentary on Netflix, Trainwreck. I watched it last night. Great documentary. Can't believe that all went down. Pretty intense. Corn is awesome, says Gas B. Well, again, if you want to watch, there's some, Brendan, there's a new one out right now. I forget the name of it, but I watched two episodes of it. The first one was on the race for space, and the second one, it was on the growth of China. And so it's current events, and it's really, I did not know this, 85% of the knockoff products on the world right now are... They come from China. I did not know that. So for any of the parents out there that have a daughter that has a knockoff Louis Vuitton, I don't know anybody that has one of those, but I guess 85, I did not. And there was a story actually just read in the news update about the Americans changing a law that's going to make it more difficult for Chinese products to get in the U.S. and allowing for a more competitive marketplace for American-based companies. But that's for the news. Let's go to NHL Today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing, your local branded merchandising specialist. Head to ElitePromoMarketing.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
Max Pacioretty sidelined for the next 6 months after having surgery for a torn Achilles tendon. 33-year-old, now a member of the Hurricanes following an injury-plagued season in Vegas. Winnipeg agreed to a 2-year extension with forward David Gustafson. Carries an average annual value of $775,000. Oilers. Oil Kings goaltender Sebastian Kosa, as we mentioned, does get the start tonight. Team Canada opening the preliminary round tonight at Rogers Place against Latvia. Finland knocking off the Latvians 6-1 yesterday. Right now, Sweden and Switzerland are scoreless midway through the first period, and then later on tonight, Germany and Austria square off in the nightcap. The Oil Kings trading 20-year-old forward Jalen Lipin and conditional draft picks to Tri-City for third-year forward Rhett Melnick and 6'3" defenseman Bryson Andreg. Melnick, a veteran of Fort Saskatchewan's minor hockey system, has 27 points in 86 career Western Hockey League games. And former Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman Börje Salming has been diagnosed with ALS. That's known as Lou Gehrig's disease as well. Salming played 16 seasons with the Leafs. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1996.
Börje Salming's part of the reason why I hated the Philadelphia Flyers in the 1970s, because they basically tried to assault him on the ice. Harold Ballard, who was a old curmudgeon, would often make what today would be deemed as, oh, heck, in the 1970s, it was deemed as incredibly politically insensitive comments. Referenced Inge Hammerstrong one time as talking about him as a guy who would go into the corner with a carton of eggs and would come back out of the corner and the eggs still wouldn't have been broken. But Börje Salming was one of the top three or four defensemen in the National Hockey League, and Philadelphia suckered him and basically assaulted him on the ice during the days of the Broad Street Bullies, which was why one of the greatest moments for me was when Dave Dunn at the University of Saskatchewan absolutely pounded the hound Bob Kelly.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.